All right, Carol, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to point at you. When I point at you, then you hit that button.
And I put it plays now? Our
intro.
I hit it now?
Not yet.
I hit it
when
now?
I point at you.
I'm pointing
at you!
Oh, it's like really low. It's for mature audiences only. It is not intended Turn for up children. The dude. Or self-righteous gas bags with sticks up their butts. Ouch. This project is extremely dangerous. It's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock. You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslord,
Hello.
Carol the Cat,
Hi.
The Giddy Geeker,
Woo.
And Tiffany the Technician.
And Pedro.
Pedro, Pedro, vote for him.
Vote for Pedro! From a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, it's more like a big ball of
wibbly-wobbly, time-wiring stuff. And now, damn right they shot first, the hosts of Guardians of the Geekery. That's
oh
us.
My goodness, it feels good. Also good. I think it's episode 61, but I can't be for sure. So please forgive us if
it feels like it's been, you know,
misnumbered.
It feels like the last time we met was last year, man.
Yeah, it does.
What's up with that?
I wonder what's up with that.
And it's just us. We have no special guest.
We're special in
We're
and
special
of ourselves.
All by special. Ourselves.
So special.
So is this the first podcast of the season?
It is.
We did the Star Wars.
The last one was done on 12/15.
Wow.
And then we did You're the Star Wars. Me.
Did we?
Is oh, it, is that the, no, the Star Wars podcast was after that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I was like, wow, it's been almost a month?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But yeah, it kind of has because I suck. So.
Stop.
True, yeah.
Wow, that's strange. Starnslord is telling Joey not to...
Explicit rating.
Let's get that E right out of the way.
Oh, so how's Gallivant going?
I hope you're not looking at me. I definitely not watching it.
Has season 2 started? Because I haven't
it
watched
did.
Season
2.
Yes.
Okay. We watched the first one and two that they
did
at the same time.
Yeah, you know, they do the two half episodes together, just like last season. In spite of ourselves, we watched it. Matt Starnslord had the complaint, I didn't laugh once in the first episode.
Oh, really?
But you know what? The second episode...
I smiled.
He chortled.
I chortled.
Just once. A little bit.
Once.
No, twice. Kylie Minogue was in the second one. You can hardly recognize her. But she was in the second one, and the main guy... took off his shirt, and they totally riffed on themselves in the episodes, and I thought that was clever.
That is clever.
And they're like, we're not singing that Bane song again, because everybody's sick of it, so here's another one, my friend, you know, something to that effect. Maybe my song was a little bit better, but anyway.
Okay, so Gallivant, watch it, or not.
It was interesting. It's tongue-in-cheek.
It was
just like last season.
It was mildly amusing. I think it's really its purpose is to throw as many cameos in there as you can. I think that's the purpose of that show. I think that these are the people that have options. NBC has options with, or whoever is doing this, ABC or whoever,
right?
That they haven't retained there, and they're like, well, we're already paying them just to kind of sit around. Let's throw them in here really quick and do something. I don't know. That's
so
my thought.
It's like the old stables of Hollywood past,
yeah.
Where they just. Truck people
come
out.
On out
yeah. Anyway, and actually yeah. There are some people in there that, you know, you'd be like, hey, that person's pretty funny, even if their scene was stupid. So
that one episode I watched last year
that was killer, like that. Wasn't it? That was it killer was, yeah.
You started me on this slippery
I
slope.
Did not
it did.
I maintain that I did not. So you guys watched it and I happened to watch it and then it somehow became my thing.
I haven't watched it. What the heck did you
okay?
just do, Giddy Geeker?
Did you bite your lip?
Did you don't eat the pen.
The pen went into your mouth.
I clicked
you can't
the pen
talk.
Into my mouth.
Don't do that. You all right?
She's sucking the ink out of pens now.
Oh, it wasn't that end. Oh. You told me not to suck, so I wasn't sucking. I was clicking, and I clicked it into my teeth.
Let's go back to sucking, please. Yeah, I don't like clicking. Let's
okay.
Go
all right, moving right along.
Speaking of kids' baking challenge.
What the hell is that?
Speaking of
stuff. Hey, listen, there's no dancing shows on right now, so now I'm watching kids baking challenges.
We have like 100,000 movies to talk about, and you're watching kids bake. Are they at least decent bakers?
Are they geeky, these bakers?
Some of them. We did watch a Star Wars cooking challenge the other day.
That was cool and depressing at the same time.
Yes. Anyway,
so why did they have like a cake showing Han Solo dying?
Well, no, but they had these really cool ideas for a cake, and then they would execute them, and like one was supposed to be Darth Vader's hands holding a Star Destroyer, but the cake was too hot, so it looked like two black turds in this like wilted Star Destroyer. And the other one had, it was a pretty good Darth Vader head, but the lightsaber,
limp lightsabers. Yeah.
The lightsaber was backwards, and it was limped, draping over the cake, and it was just like...
I hate when that happens.
Yeah. Man. It's like, you need to take a pill for that, but it was just...
I mean, it was a cool thing. The girl was trying to take one of those long balloons like you use for balloon animals, and they covered it in spun sugar, and then popped the balloon out to make the lightsaber clear. But those of us who know... That's not the shape of a lightsaber.
No.
It's just not.
No.
And so instead of having a nice straight laser-like line, you have this ploopy, ploppy, flunky
balloon animal.
A limp sausage is what it was. Yeah.
Balloon animal.
Anyway, so there's some fun kids' challenges on air. What amazes me is how much better kids are at baking than I am. Anyway.
That's because you just need to practice. Practice. Baking is alchemy.
It doesn't give me joy, and neither did the movie Joy.
No.
Oh.
No.
You didn't like it?
Nah.
I liked it. I thought it, I mean, it was a little bit weirder than I kind of expected it to be. Like, the thing with the mom getting with the handyman, and...
Well, I wanted it to be better than it was, and I really kind of felt like there was a heavy hand.
There's a heavy hand, and it's one of those movies that like, here's a problem, and then we're going to solve it in the next 30 seconds.
It was one problem. Just one.
But even the little problems, like her mom being a recluse. Oh, here's a handyman. Boom! Problem solved. You know, it just... There just seemed to be like...
There's the movie that you make about the person that's still alive. And then there's the movie you make after all the people are dead.
Yeah.
And Joy was the movie about the person who's still alive and has executive control over the story that's told. And, I mean, like, if you read online, like, spoiler alert, her father, her half-sister, her father's girlfriend, wife, they all sue her at different times trying to get control of the company from her.
They do say that at the end.
But they say it. It's like, here's this fluffy little bunny.
You're right. It could have been more dramatic. Like, they could have cut to the chase with her becoming
this.
And
she did more than just the mom.
Yeah,
you know?
And that was the other thing.
You only heard about the mom.
Well, at the end, I felt like the end was the weakest part because it was like, I'm Jennifer Lawrence, dressed up like
a businesswoman.
I am 50 years old.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have Bradley Cooper show up for no fucking reason whatsoever at all just to say,
oh,
I knew we wouldn't stay
friends.
I'm going to
let this homeless couple who's living in a van or in a hotel room and they're have
I'm
a, truck their
I'm
baby
an amazing
in and
person.
Completely make your little lint brush, which was invented 50 years ago, incidentally. It just seemed like the really interesting story was told in and then this happened narration at the very end. And it's like, well, why couldn't I see the movie where she sued or that, you know, she built the empire and what other inventions did she make? Because we know about the mop.
Yeah.
So it just, to me,
sequel.
It was Joy 2, Electric Boogaloo. it just seemed like a movie that never quite got started and then it ended and I wasn't all that.
So I enjoyed a lot of the trailers, but the trailers didn't really tell you what it was about.
No, it didn't.
And that's usually a sign that the trailer's much better than the movie. And unfortunately, that was true. Like the random thing about her singing the song with her future ex-husband. That trailer by itself is very haunting, but it's not a freaking musical.
Yeah, and it's
they're just
one
like,
time.
Oh, Jennifer Lawrence made a lot of money singing on The Hunger Games. Let's make her sing here.
Yeah, it just, yeah.
Yeah, it was a vehicle. That's what it was.
So. Yeah, although the one really good thing to come out of this was that ex-husband was a hot fucking piece.
He was. He was
like,
very
I
good
was good. Like, after every scene that passed, I was like, that Pedro is, inside joke to those listening, but
I'm sorry, Diego. I called you Pedro because your last name is
Ferrar. We weren't even going to bring
it
up. Like, often.
I suck. We've covered this. Okay. Who saw Hateful Eight? Because I'm being hateful.
I did.
Talk
I
about did. It.
You go ahead.
Talk about it.
It's funny because I never... I never quite consider myself a Quentin Tarantino fan, but then I think back on his movies and I can't think of one that I don't like. So I guess I am a Quentin Tarantino fan. I don't like Quentin Tarantino.
Do you see him on lip sync battles? He's got a little pudge there going on. I saw him on the
Golden Globes, and it's like, damn, Quentin, tuck your shirt in. Can you just do that?
No.
Anyway, this isn't his best movie. It really isn't. Oh. It's very self-indulgent. It's 3 hours long. There's an intermission and an overture. Mm. But it's a good film.
Did you see the one in 70mm?
Yes, I did. I saw it in 70mm. I was entertained. The first half of this movie is gorgeous with, you know, it's filmed in Telluride, Colorado, so it made me miss Colorado. Beautiful mountains, beautiful snow, beautiful everything. And then the other half is filmed in haberdashery with the Hateful Eight. But I was thoroughly entertained, and Samuel L. Jackson is Samuel L. Jackson, and Kurt Russell was awesome. And Jennifer Jason Leigh was also very awesome, so.
Well, it sounds like you liked this movie a lot more than I did.
You didn't like it.
And I will definitely say, like, no shame, like, I am a huge Quentin Tarantino fan. And to be fair, like, I would have never gone to see this movie if I hadn't been a Quentin Tarantino fan. Because, like, a snow western isn't really my idea of a great Saturday night. Like, I'm a girl, it's just not my thing. But I went to see it purely because it was him, and I thought it started so incredibly slow. I kept being like, when is something going to happen? I don't feel like, other than Samuel Jackson, it was required that any of those people play any of those parts. I don't feel like Kurt Russell brought anything spectacular to that role that was like, oh, I get why it had to be Kurt Russell.
I don't think it had to be Kurt Russell, but I do like that it was Kurt Russell.
Well, he did write the characters with the actors in mind and stuff. So to be fair, he wrote that for Kurt Russell, so I get why he played the part. But the point is, it was like, okay, this just seems like a big stunt. And then when Quentin Tarantino himself does a voiceover, like, and the action continues.
Yeah, that
we're
was...
gonna move. It's like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, that was when it was like, okay, he's being very self-indulgent right now. And this could have been trimmed a good 40 minutes and it wouldn't have hurt the film in the slightest.
It maybe would have helped it. And then the twist, or let's say, quote, twist, that happened in the movie was like, kind of like, yeah, I can kind of see that. Like, that's kind of my reaction to it. Like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. Like,
yeah, I kind of figured that was coming, though. Because
exactly. It was just not really you weren't sure how it fit together, but you're kind of like, oh, okay. Like,
was Kurt Russell sort of like, he was in Tombstone?
He's a bounty hunter.
Okay.
Yeah.
A little different.
Right? And he's very like, I'm the hangman.
Yeah.
He's the hangman, guys.
I always get my man, guys. Always brings his people in alive. Because it's dead or alive. He always brings them in alive so they can actually hang.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And Jennifer Jason Leigh plays his bounty. Okay. That's the one he's bringing into town to hang.
Huh.
She does a good job, but really the only person that is remotely interesting in this movie is Samuel Jackson. And even then,
I actually thought Walter Groggins' character was
I
thought his character was actually really interesting.
He was interesting, but the way it kind of played out with him didn't make sense to me.
Oh, it did to me. That little evolution between their characters was actually quite probably what kept me the most interested.
I mean, it's like, was the point that like he was a moral man, that he was telling the truth about him being the sheriff of the town, Red Rocks, mm-hmm. and so subsequently his sort of morals dictate how the story will play, or was it just surprise, he changed his mind, or
prejudice? It's more that he can overlook it.
But it didn't feel like it fit in with his character at all. Like the whole sort of build up to that was like, fuck black people, kind of a thing. And then it was like, just kidding.
I didn't think it was just kidding, though. I don't think at the end his opinion of this particular black person may have changed. But I don't think as a whole it may have changed.
But that's the thing that's so interesting about it, is the fact that, like, Samuel Jackson reveals himself at every turn to sort of be a fraud.
Well, yeah.
Or whatever. So it's not like he's like this like great old, you know, wise black man that he's
it's
like, oh, I've been wrong.
Like, it's the situation that they're in, not necessarily the person that he's dealing with.
I guess.
But like I said, it is not his best. This is not Pulp Fiction. This is not Jackie Brown.
No.
This is not... I liked Django Unchained better than
Django.
I liked
was pretty fun.
That was
cool. Yeah.
I feel sad, though, because it's like Quentin Tarantino himself is so big into his filmography that, mm-hmm. like, he has this, like, finite number of films he wants to complete and have this sort of magnum opus of a career or whatever. And to me, I felt like this did not, you know.
It's better than Death Proof.
I didn't see that, but that wasn't technically, like, his direct film.
I think that is considered one of the eight.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
One of the, because this is the eighth, it is titled the eighth film by Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I have not seen Inglourious Bastards.
It's very good.
Oh,
that's
good. Good.
So,
it's good.
It's the one Quentin Tarantino film I haven't seen, but I do think this is better than Death Proof.
I don't know.
I like Django Unchained better.
It was an interesting premise that just didn't play out in a, to me.
But I will say, my main problem with this film is it's entirely too long. It does not need to be 3 hours long. Really does not. You stop spearing yourself with the pen.
Oh,
okay,
no.
We've gone on and on about Hateful Eight.
Yes, we've had quite the... So, but I just would like to say, speaking of another almost 3 hour film, I saw The Revenant.
The Revenant? No, I have not
seen
it. I haven't seen
it
yet.
Great business, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I was going to see it last night, but then I decided I needed.
Not on a weeknight.
I heard some bad stuff about it. Like, it was a little too real time for the fight with the bear.
Yeah. Okay. So it's definitely,
there's a lot of not talking and a lot of,
yeah.
Well, I mean, but what is he like for the majority of the movie? So there's, I'm not giving anything away. The trailer completely tells you the story of this movie. And so therein, the movie is just playing out in a slow, you know, kind of in a more thing. It's just playing out the story that is presented to you completely in the trailer. And, but, so, I mean, he's not really, like, walking along the wilderness, like, so, Leo, like, blah, 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 what model are you going to fuck next? Kind of thing. Like, he's not talking to himself. He's, like, barely hanging on to survival or whatever, and in this sort of quest to get revenge or whatever. But, yes, like, when he gets attacked by the bear, it's extremely disturbing. Like, me and the lady sitting next to me were like...
So, Jonah Hill did a really good job playing the bear.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's, like, very realistic seeming. It's very disturbing seeing people die and everything was done very, like, and animals, quite frankly, like, it bothered me that there were, you know, scenes involving animals where they get, you know, sort of involved in the ruckus. But Leonardo DiCaprio did an exceptional job. I'm a huge fan of his, so I, you know, I wasn't disappointed. And it didn't feel like too long of a movie. I liked this way better than The Hateful Eight.
I think Hateful Eight's problem is that it is self-indulgent and is Quentin Tarantino being overly Quentin Tarantino. There were monologues in The Hateful Eight where I'm like, okay, you can shut up now. But I was still entertained. So
I will say this. I think maybe you may be one of the very few people who understand what I mean by this. I've said this to a few people and they look at me blankly, but I feel like this film is trying very hard to be a Terrence Malick film.
Oh, yeah.
So, but...
Okay, I can see that.
Yeah. Thank you for understanding that.
In that case, I may have problems with that.
I like Terrence Malick's film.
It's hit or miss with me. It's hit or miss. So we'll see what if I like that one. But I'm we'll see tomorrow if Leonardo DiCaprio is nominated for an Oscar. He's supposed to be a shoo-in.
He's supposed to be the front runner to win.
Yeah, the front runner
so
to
we'll
win.
See.
If it is, I think it's probably going to be a, we're sorry we haven't given this to you before.
He deserves it.
He does. So
he does.
How about The Big Short?
The Big Short is actually not a bad film. It's about the housing crisis in the 1980s. It tells the story in a very entertaining way. It actually makes it understandable because there was a group of people who actually saw the big housing collapse crash coming, and so they bet against the housing market and made billions of dollars. And everyone thought they were insane because it was one of those too big to fail type things. They did not believe that the housing market would crash. And these group of people started betting against it. And everyone thought they were crazy, and they made out like bandits.
And so this is the 80s?
This is actually the 90s.
I was going to say, because this happened again in 2008 with Goldman Sachs betting against the housing market.
This was the first one in the 1990s. Oh. Uh-huh. So this was when Lehman Brothers went under.
Oh, okay.
When they shut down Lehman Brothers. Yeah. Well, they say at the very end that they just started right back up again with the really bad, with the mortgages that people would not qualify for just giving it to them. And then, you know, of course, people couldn't pay their mortgage because they shouldn't have qualified in the first place. But they were just putting all of these mortgages together in bundles. And it's explained very nicely. If you don't like breaking the fourth wall, this is not the film for you, because they break the fourth wall all the time. Ryan Gosling is so unattractive in this film.
That's hard.
Terrible haircuts. All around, terrible haircuts. But Christian Bale is actually really, really good playing a person with Asperger's that has trouble communicating. But he's this doctor, and he's very good with numbers, and he's the first one to start noticing this, and he's the one that takes his investment company and starts betting against it, like millions of dollars against it. And his investment company thinks he's crazy, but they had given him carte blanche, basically, because they knew he could find where to invest. So it's entertaining. It's not a great film. I know it'll be nominated for a couple of things. I'm pretty sure Christian Bale will be nominated. Steve Carell may be nominated for Best Supporting. But I liked Spotlight a lot better, if you're looking for that.
Spotlight's not getting as much love as people would expect.
I know. I like Spotlight much better if you're looking for that kind of Hot Topic indie film. But The Big Short wasn't bad. And it was kind of funny in places. So.
Cool.
That's that. What's next?
I guess just real quick, I'll just get the TV stuff out of the way. There's a new Voltron series.
Is it live action or animated?
It's animated, and it's going to be on Netflix. So that
is it going to be the lions?
I don't think it better
be the lions, not the cars.
I don't know.
I'll really hate you, Netflix, if you do the cars.
Oh,
what is Voltron?
God. Voltron is... Oh, God. Oh, you don't know what Voltron is. Oh, my God. Voltron is like this group of five people, and they have these lions, and they go and fight intergalactic baddies, and when they need to, they form all of their lions into Voltron, Defender of the Universe.
It's another one of these kind of like Transformer
robot
things, where it's, like, but the smallers like, combine to a larger.
Yeah.
And like, isn't it with Voltron that sometimes you have to be all five to be Voltron.
You have to be all five to be Voltron.
But yes, you can do, like, if there's two of them by themselves.
That was the cars.
Okay.
Yeah, the lions, they never really paired up.
Okay.
It was all
but different spinoffs of the series. Sometimes, if two or three were together, they could combine together.
Smaller things.
But they weren't as powerful as when all five of them were together.
If you had four of them, you could be Lady Voltron, because the fifth one was the slong. So
that's what I was going to say. Are you like, if it's two of them, are they Voltron's dick?
Yeah.
The opinions of Star and Lawrence do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station. For complaints about Star and Lawrence, please email complaints@www.guardiansofthegeekery.com. No. That won't really work.
Voltron and Gotcha Man.
Okay, so there's Voltron. Get that out of the way.
Guillermo del Toro is going to do something called Troll Hunters. He wants to do a fantasy type of trilogy type of deal.
Is that based on Troll Hunter?
No.
There's a Danish film called Troll Hunter, which is actually really good.
It's not.
Oh, it's not based on Trolls 2 either, is it?
The one without trolls?
Yes.
And then finally, Daredevil Season 2 is beginning March 25th on Netflix, so
Punisher
off the weekend.
You know what's happening to me with Daredevil is now... It's kind of like when you find out that somebody's pregnant, and everywhere you look, there's somebody that's pregnant. Or when you buy a new car.
Daredevil's pregnant?
Shut up.
Or you buy a car, like a PT Cruiser's hanging. This is unique. It'll be easy to find in the parking lot.
When I met you, now I see PT Cruisers everywhere.
Now you see PT Cruisers everywhere.
Yeah.
Ever since I've watched Daredevil, now I see Kristen Ritter everywhere. Like in Gilmore Girls. She was in several episodes of that. She was also in several... Of course, she was in
Veronica
Mars. But, you know, I keep seeing her in shows, and I didn't remember her being in them. Now, Breaking Bad, I never watched, so...
What? I can't get into that damn show. I don't know why.
You can't?
You know why?
Oh, it's good.
But if you ever drive to Geek Gala headquarters, you'll actually swear you just drove by the RV.
Yes.
On our way to our house.
I think it's because I worked so long in Arizona near Apache Junction in Mesa, which was like meth capital of the Southwest.
It takes you out of the wall.
To see the person that he is to begin with and the person he becomes, and not even the person he becomes like fakely, like he literally like has a true transformation.
Yeah.
Is so and Bryan Cranston is so amazing.
Bryan Cranston, Kirk. I will be very sad because Trumbo is a really awesome film. I forgot to put that down there. Trumbo's really awesome. And John Goodman's amazing, and Bryan Cranston is amazing, and I think he's going to lose to Leonardo DiCaprio, which is a shame.
Would you bring us to the end of the tour?
Who's ending the tour? What tour?
Oh, so I had a little bit of time off, so I rented some stuff from Netflix.
After you watched Star Wars 4 times.
After I watched Star Wars 4 times.
You just want
to meet me. So the end of the tour was this little movie that came out in July of last year and only made like less than $3 million. So it was one of those type of manner type of showings probably. And it's Jason Segel and Jesse Eisenberg. But it's based off of David Foster Wallace's Infinite Jest.
Oh, he plays David Foster Wallace, right?
Yeah, and so it's the two. The other David is, at the time, was a writer for Rolling Stone. And Rolling Stone wasn't writing about writers, and he conned his editor, let him go. And he spent, like, the end of the book tour with him, and that's where the name comes from. But it's really cool. And now, I forget the other David's name, but now he's actually a celebrated author. So he had just started writing books. Now he's kind of launched. And they never actually aired the articles at all. So it was all based on his cassette tapes. And so when David Foster Wallace passed, he wrote the story and that became this movie. But the movie was so good. And I think it's because after seeing a big thing like Star Wars, and then I saw Ex Machina.
Ex Machina.
Machina, you know, and it was... And that was smaller, but it was just I needed something where people were just talking, and it was just like story driven and character driven. But Jason Segel, I mean, he delivered. He did drama perfectly. It had some little comedic parts, but he really, really was fantastic in it.
So. I read an article today in Vanity Fair where they basically said like they're really disappointed that he hasn't gotten more love on the award circuit, that he's sort of been overlooked, but that he is more than deserving to be in that group of people like Leo and Brian.
I think there's just too many big movies or bigger movies that are actually gearing toward that award, so that they're not going to look at the little ones.
That came out in July, which I kind of barely remember it being advertised, but I think, if they had released it right in Oscar time, he might have had at least a shot at being nominated this time because of it. But, I mean, it's a really good performance. But that whole timing thing always gets me because it's like, I'll see a small movie during the year and I'm like, oh, but it's not close enough to Oscar season.
Do you always, like, wonder that, by the way? I'll see these, like, previews for movies and they'll be like, it's coming out in May. And I'll be like... That looks like some like major Oscar bait. Like, what? They have fucked that person.
They really do sometimes. But there's not enough movies, and I mean, I think we all hear like the big tentpole movies and the Star Wars. Avengers and all this stuff. But it's really forcing a lot of movies to go smaller, and movies are not getting made because of so many of these. So it's kind of it gets you happy because you have the big popcorn movie, but we're missing a lot of these little. A lot of movies are not getting made because of these things. So I'm kind of torn, like, I love these movies, though. I want to see Spider-Man again. But
Or Aquaman.
Or Aquaman,
I heard there was a casting for that.
Yeah.
Amber Heard's going to be an Aquaman? Who is she playing?
Mira, his wife.
So does this mean that...
And she's going to be in fucking Batman versus
Superman. Does this mean that Aquaman's going to meet up with Captain Jack Sparrow? Because Amber Heard's married to Johnny Depp.
Did they get married?
They married, yeah.
Oh my god, how weird.
That is weird. Isn't she like as young as his daughter? Or on the same age as his daughter?
I don't know if she's that young, but she's pretty young. I mean,
I don't know.
But I think he's, like, kind of past it, to be perfectly honest.
I think he's gone insane. Mm. So, but that'll be interesting. I've never really seen anything Amber Heard's in that I've really liked.
So you saw X... Carol would like to pronounce it
either. Good God. Yeah, I feel like I caught up on that. I had missed it. I wanted to see it. And that was a total, like, mind trip. And I watched it the day after I saw Star Wars for the third or fourth time, and I was just like...
And two of the three characters are actually in Star Wars.
Yeah, my mind is just like, yeah, wait, Poe Dameron?
Oh, yeah, what? You're right. That's right. I didn't think about it.
Like, Poe Dameron, Hux. Probably how he should have looked after being crash-landed on the planet.
Admiral Hux or Colonel Hux? Admiral Hux or Colonel Hux, the leader of the First Order.
That's bad. Yeah,
Matt's gotta go see it again.
Yeah, that's the other secondary character in Ex Machina. Yeah, so I liked it. I really liked it.
I thought it was a really good movie.
I think it's one of those films that unfortunately is gonna get blocked out of Oscar because there's so many bigger.
It's really like set off that girl though, that Alicia.
Yeah.
Vikander.
I can't pronounce her last name.
Yeah, she's she's really popping up everywhere. Apparently she gets to, or I don't know if she's still dating, but she at one point dated my newer boyfriend, Michael Fassbender, that lucky boy.
Oh. Lucky shit. Man. Yeah. Ooh.
He is something.
She got the Fassbender's bender.
Oh, good news about Transformers.
they're not making any more.
They're going to make Transformers 5. Michael Bay said, I'll do it, but this is the last one we're going to make. Yes. And everybody was happy. And then a lot of people were like, oh, there's going to be a 6th one then? So there will be a Transformers 5.
I guess they can keep making money on
it. I know. It's like, people stop watching these things. Please. Just stop watching these
I've only seen the first one and not even the whole thing.
I fell asleep during the second one. I literally fell asleep in the theater during the second one.
I just wasn't into the toys, though, either when I was a kid.
The first one was, like, really fun. You know? Like, I really liked Shia LaBeouf. I liked his mom and dad, like, and their bickering. And I thought it was fun.
Cool.
Okay, so...
You're like, cool. Good for you, stupid.
You're the reason we have terrible movies.
You saw it, too.
I did. Han Solo's shortlist?
Yes.
Can we just cross Miles Teller and Dave Franco off that, please?
Yeah. Dave Franco would be bad. Scott Eastwood. Yeah. So I don't know.
Miles Teller.
That Ansel Elgort is a cutie, though.
I don't know who that is. What does he do?
He was in those movies that have the girl from I got pregnant as a teenager. Insurgent and Divergent. He's like the brother of the main character.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Whatever the new Jody, the male Jody Picoult, he was in that movie. That written by that guy.
He was in that one movie written by that guy.
How do I look that up on International Movie Database?
With the main girl from Divergent and Insurgent, she's in that movie also, where they're both dying of cancer.
Oh, The Fault of My Stars.
Yeah.
Wow.
I never even read the book.
As fucked up as that was, Tiffany, I had a similar thing today where I was thinking of this TV show, and I was like, I don't know what this fucking thing is. I've seen millions of previews, and I'm like, so I go on IMDb, and I'm like, oh, I don't know the actor's name. Okay. But I know he was in this movie called She's Out of Your League, but I had the name wrong, so it wasn't coming up. And then finally I got She's Out of Your League. Find it was like Jay Baruchel.
Jay Baruchel.
So I found him, and it's Man Seeking Woman. And so I watched a couple episodes of that, and that is awesome.
Really?
You really got to check that. It's not even on this list. Yes, we have a list occasionally on the show.
Occasionally.
I'll
write that down.
But really funny. And it's another half-hour show, which is great, but it's kind of like his surreal trip through dating. And the first episode is great because his sister sets him up literally with a troll. She looks like almost a smaller version of Chet from Weird Science.
Oh, God.
The monster at the end.
Oh, okay.
Just disgusting in a dress. Like, I mean, really stuff
is
oozing.
That what Troll Hunter is about?
No, not at all. But very, very funny show. I'd highly recommend it. And it's on Hulu and on FXX, I think it is. It'll be on tonight, actually. So, anyway, yeah. Okay. Adam Driver is going to be on SNL this Saturday, the 16th. So
we'll talk about that next week.
And then in Infinity War, so the Russo brothers are saying they could have up to 67 characters at least shown during the movie. Like, wow. Yeah, they're going to be like that. So
they need to get two.
I'm
more.
Jessica Jones. Peace.
Yeah. It is two, it is two movies. It is two movies, Infinity Wars. Okay. But that's 30-some-odd characters each movie, right?
So I have this vision of just, you know, somebody standing in the kitchen in their costume making coffee. There we go. We got that one out.
Who's Ariel Johnson?
Mr. Gold. Yeah, he delivered the pizza.
Who's who?
Ariel Johnson.
Oh, yeah. So we talked about her last year when she was trying to get funding, I guess, to help with opening up her own comics and coffee house. And it finally opened. It's in Philadelphia. So she is the first African-American female to own a comic book shop on the East Coast. So kind of cool. So I just want to give a shout out. And it's Amalgam Comics and Coffee House. Where you can read like indie comics, a little bit of the major comics or like the superhero cape stuff too, but and it's a coffee house, you actually could sit down and talk to people about comic books.
It's not called Beverly's Coffee and Comics.
It is not, actually. It is
another inside joke.
Yeah. It is Amalgam. But thanks.
thanks for weighing.
Just I want to give a quick shout out. Davey Beauchamp, who is a librarian, had me as a comic relief
stooge.
For his Doctor Who trivia at the Harrisburg Library. That was a lot of fun. Thanks to everybody that came out. And a prize I got was a book, so that's always a good thing.
Books are good.
Yes. You got book reviews, don't you, Carol?
I have one, yes. Hunger Made Me a Modern Girl. This is by Carrie Brownstein, who is one of the guitarists for Sleater-Kinney. It's one of my favorite groups ever.
I like them.
She was also in Portlandia.
Oh, yeah.
This is a very good book. It deals with her upbringing, her mother who was anorexic to the point of being institutionalized, and her father who was a closeted gay man, and goes through her early rock years and the forming of Sleater-Kinney. It doesn't go into Portlandia, which is my only drawback on this book. I wanted it to go further because
she's a brown-haired girl?
Yeah, I love Portlandia. But maybe she'll do a sequel to it. But this deals mainly with her rock background. And it's very good. Nice. It's a very nice read. It's a very easy read. I'm trying to do one book a week. I almost made it to the second book for tonight, but I'll have two book reviews for next week.
Excellent.
My weekend was taken with a Logicon, so I didn't get enough reading done. But
speaking of which,
a Logicon is a small convention in Raleigh, North Carolina. This was its fifth year. It's a very good little con. It's not big, but they have a very nice hotel. They're at the Embassy Suites in Raleigh. Really great panels. Nirvana performed, and they are always amazing. Yep. So if you've never seen Nirvana, go see them. But I really enjoy this con. This is kind of a relaxing convention for me. I'm not doing a table. I'm just actually attending panels. I did get sucked into a couple of panels because
it happens.
Just, you know, you're here, be on the panel. It's a good little con. It's a very nice little con. They seem to be very happy with the size they're at. I don't know if they're going to get any bigger. If they do, the hotel will deal with some expansion. But go see it. It'll be, you know, sixth year next year in January.
Mm.
I had fun.
I'd like to talk about a TV show I've been watching.
Please, yes.
Do they dance?
No.
Wow.
No dance.
Well, yes, they do dance, but it's not a competition show. It's actually a pretty critically acclaimed series. It's been starting to get a little bit of a rise in the ratings, and if you haven't had a chance to watch it, I would definitely recommend it. It's called Born This Way. It's not from the Lady Gaga song, but it follows the story of seven adults who have some form of Down syndrome.
Oh.
And it talks about, and it's... It's made by Jonathan Murray, same one that did Real World. And it's very much, you know, in that similar style where they have one central place, which is a center that they all kind of meet at and interact with. But they all have different desires. They all have different focuses. They all have different levels of Down syndrome and different distinctions. So... there are some that they're very high functioning, and then there are others where there may be emotionally challenges. And they're talking about the parents and the whole thing. There's a girl, Megan. She was actually, there was a lot of buzz about her because she would go around to high schools talking about, you know, don't limit me.
just because of what you think that's wrong with me. And she has a clothing line called Megology, where she does cold water tie-dyeing or ice tie-dyeing, and she sells stuff. And, you know, she's actually very... her mom spends all this time with her and really works with her. And as well as she does, they show a scene where she's made all this money selling this amazing clothing, and she has no idea how much money is in her hand. She does very well. She's counting by fives and says 5, 10, 15, 20. Problem is that she has 20s and 10s in there. And she very much wants to live in California. She wants to be a producer of documentaries and all this stuff. And her mother is just like, I can't let her go. Yet when they do the little one-on-one interviews, like the confessionals, mm-hmm. like Megan will be sitting there with her mom, and she goes, Megan will say, my mom is just attached to me and I don't know how to separate from her without hurting her feelings. Yet her mom's like, but I see my daughter, and you know, we go to the grocery store and when it's time to order meat, she freaks out and can't do it. And how can I, you know, so it's just very interesting. And there's successes and there's failures and there's cat fights and drama and boyfriend girlfriend issues and all the stuff that you see in all of these other reality shows, but it's handled very well. You don't feel like these people are being put on parade. It's a much more complex reality show than a lot that you see out there. And I'm happy to announce that just a couple days ago they did announce that they're going to do a second season, and hopefully they don't, in their raise in the ratings, suddenly go to that comic version, and stay more this documentary style that they're doing, because I really think it's fascinating. And you know, a Time Warner Cable, if you have that, it's on demand, you can catch up pretty easily. It's about 45 minutes of actual content, you know, 20 minutes of commercials. So but it's a really good series, and if you're not feeling sci-fi that day, I think it's
what's it called again?
It's called Born This Way. Born This Way. And there's a rapper on it. He raps. Which brings me to my next thing. Cool thing I learned about iPhone.
Excuse me.
Hey Siri, will you beatbox for me?
I can't answer that.
You want me to do my...
It's about Siri.
Hey Siri, beatbox for me.
Here's one I've been practicing: boots and cats and boots and cats and boots and cats and boots and cats and boots. I could do this all day. Cats and boots and 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 cats.
Okay.
Yes. Things you never know.
That's beatboxing?
That's beatboxing for Siri. And here's the other one that I wanted to do. Hey Siri, can you read...
Okay, check it out.
Siri, we weren't done.
Hey Siri, can you read me the last text message from Melissa Pemberton?
I found your most recent message from Melissa Pemberton. Melissa said, red heart, red heart, red heart, red heart, red heart, red heart. Would you like to reply?
No, thank you. This is...
Okay.
This is what happens when you put emojis in text messages and then ask Siri to read them. And that was because I was picking her up from IKEA, where she had stranded herself by buying too much stuff and not leaving herself and her friend any room in the car to drive it. That's funny. That's all I have to share this week. Thank you.
Thank you for that slice of life.
And with that.
Fun with Siri.
That's a new segment. I'll try to learn more things and teach you more later.
Oh, do we want to do the rest in peace or just don't cry and keep...
Don't cry for me, Argentina.
I guess there's only one that really...
The only one that really hurts. Really, really hurts.
Now, wait a second. Unforgettable Natalie Cole.
Natalie Cole didn't hurt me as much as
Unforgettable.
Bowie.
Unforgettable.
Angus Scrimm didn't hurt me as much as
That's
Bowie.
That's where you are.
Lemmy didn't hurt me as much as Bowie.
What about... Wayne Rogers from MASH.
Didn't hear as much as Bowie.
I like always saw you with Bowie. Like I Felt like he was your soulmate.
He was Major Tom. And he was cremated today in New York, actually, and no one was present, which makes me think he didn't die. He just went back home. David Bowie died. Fuck you, liver cancer. Fuck you right in the ass. 69 is way too young for David Bowie to die.
Yes.
And
but an appropriate number.
An appropriate number. I think he waited. Given that his birthday was Saturday and he passed away on Monday, I think he waited.
Yes.
His new album was released on Friday, and it is absolutely amazing. It is really, really amazing, and I probably won't be able to listen to it for another couple of months because it is very obvious that this is his goodbye.
Yeah. Somebody posted that Mick Jagger was having a really bad week because Jerry Hall announced her marriage, and then one of his best friends passed away.
Yeah, and I think his longtime girlfriend committed suicide last year. So he's not on the up and up.
She did, yeah.
Yeah.
She did. So Mick Jagger's having a bad week.
Yeah.
So you think it's bad.
But goodbye, David Bowie. I miss you. As a weird kid growing up very weird, he made being weird cool. And he made it not only cool, he made it something you wanted to be. So.
And he kind of made it into the Venture Brothers as well.
Oh, God, yeah. Awesome. I don't know who's gonna be the supreme leader of the Guild of Calamitous Intent now. Or it's just...
Well, and like Simon Pegg said, don't think about it as missing David Bowie, but the fact that in all the thousands and
billions of years
you got to live when he was alive.
Yeah.
So. He's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, listen to his last album. It's actually, and the last video is just, I can't watch it again. Not yet. No.
Well, I think that's...
Okay. Nice. Yeah, that's...
Hey, I didn't cry. That's like
the you're about time. To.
I am.
Right. Goodbye from all of us.
Goodbye.
Do you want me to have Siri beatbox for you again?
No, I want to hear this. Listening to Guardians of the Geek. I didn't even get to push the button. For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery and on Twitter at CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Pilstofte. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International. Peace out, folkies!